I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome into the third day of my birth month. I'm Andrew Coppins. He's Pat Oney. This is Critical Think. What are you shaking your head at?
Birth month, really?
Right. It is my birth month. I'm excited to open my gift from you later on in the program, by the way, Pat. You keep sending me stuff every single day. I got rock.
Whatever makes you sleep better at night, I guess.
I got a rock and some candy yesterday, Pat.
No, you got rock and a candy ass.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It was candy in the shape of an ass, but what are you trying to?
Well, you got a hammer the first day.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
So I can specifically a pink hammer, by the way.
And then I promptly used it to smash up that candy ass. And
that's what the rock was for. See what I did there?
Uh-huh. What? As you can tell, we're in a little bit of a silly mood because I just... We're gonna... I just... With the president's speech last night, I didn't watch it. Frankly, I had no idea what time it was going to be on. More importantly, I had other things going on in my life. And I just can't even at this point. I just can't.
Well, hold on a second here. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we tell everybody the truth of the matter here.
What? I actually had, you know, a life and needed to go to church mass and men's prayer group.
Yeah.
And Pat Oney was sitting on his ass doing nothing.
Oh, was I? Was I? How do you know this exactly?
Because you sat on your ass and watched this.
No, actually, I didn't.
Wait,
I had to cook dinner while I was doing this.
How many times do we have to talk about this, Pat? You take the trash out. You mow the lawn. You do some of the laundry.
No. I don't do some of the laundry. I do all of the laundry.
And your wife cooks.
Yeah, I wish that were my life, but that is not my life.
You anti-patriarchal a-hole. Down with the matriarchy. Down with the matriarchy in your house. Down with the matriarchy.
Dude, no, damn. I mean, I wish. Don't get me wrong. Because here's the thing. If I even remotely attempt to do that, I get the blah, 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 blah. You know, just all that's crap. So Andrew texts me last night and says, hey, can you watch this speech?
Mm-hmm.
It made my ears bleed. You jackass.
Yep. Better you than me.
That's hurtful.
Is it though? Because my ears have bled plenty over the years.
So have mine.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean literally though. I, you know, multiple tubes in the ears and all stuff. Yeah, yeah, literally.
Yeah.
You just metaphorically have that happen to you.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is I metaphorically have that problem. You're right. Yeah. True. Uh-huh.
Now, with all of that having been said, of course, we're going to talk about the wonderful speech, a.k.a. Hitler-esque for me, and I'll explain why I say that in a little bit. But before we get there, Pat, Thursday is always a deep dive, and I think we have to deep dive on a topic here that many people are not picking up on right now. And well, this came because...
Which is what exactly?
How the hell did we get here?
Okay.
And this specifically comes from the fact that I happened to catch an interview that Dennis Prager of Prager U and the Daily Wire and all that wonderful goodness. And I think he still hosts a syndicated radio show.
I think he does. Yeah.
He was being interviewed, and it came on or around or just after the 3-year anniversary of the hilarious moment on the Bill Maher show. Right.
Mm.
And it had to do with, in this segment, in the overtime, which is only aired on like HBO Max or whatever have you. Okay. It was Dennis Prager, Rona Farah, and a few other people. Okay. And he was dealing with the claims of the left of, you know, America's racist, homophobic, transphobic, misogynistic, all this stuff. 3 years ago, mind you. Okay. Mm. But I want you to hear the part of the clip, because this is how far we have come in just 3 years. I'm just going to lay it out there like that. Okay, Pat? This is just 1 minute of talk from Dennis Prager, Bill Maher, and some other people on the concept of, can men have a period, basically, right? 3 years ago, Dennis Prager said the following.
To say that men can menstruate is a lie, and that is now, that is what is said.
Wait, where did that come from?
I never
heard it. You never heard it, right? Okay. Check it out, folks. Check it out. Anyone who says a man cannot menstruate is considered transphobic.
I missed this whole story.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Tell me where are you getting this? Just Google it. Can men menstruate?
Who is saying this? You're talking about a very small percentage.
Oh, really? Then how do you allow men, biological men, to run against women in the races in Connecticut and set all the high school records?
Okay, but that's...
They're called men.
No.
The Nation magazine said they're women.
Okay, but I would agree with you on that. The way you framed it is nonsense.
Framed it perfectly accurately.
No, you didn't. What you're talking about is, yes, someone who is transgendered was a man, now claims to be a woman, is a woman, okay, is beating the dog shit out of other women in the race because, of course, they have more muscle mass. And even Martina Navratilova came out and said, this is ridiculous. You might as well not have women's sport. This is a far cry from saying men can menstruate.
3 years ago, Bill Maher is saying nobody is talking about this. What the hell are you talking about? You're an idiot, Dennis Prager, for saying, well, you know, what he said, right?
Right.
That was 3 years ago, Pat. That wasn't three decades ago. That wasn't 10 years ago. 3 years ago. You're crazy. What the hell are you talking about? Nobody's saying that. No, that's not a thing that you have to believe. That's the fringe of the fringe. In 3 years, that is the default position of the gender theology, the gender ideology, the gender studies crowd, right? If you do not believe that that concept is possible, you are a transphobic bigot. How the hell did we get there in 3 years, Pat? How? Because now Bill Maher would probably come back and tell you Dennis Prager was right.
Well, it would be easy to say that you could use the phrase "hell is empty for all the demons are here." I mean, it would be easy to chalk it up to just that, right? But I think what this really comes down to is this is the part of the cultural war that we're in. This is accept my ideology, accept my beliefs, accept how I feel as reality rather than the truth. Mm-hmm. I think this is coming down to what is truth and what is fantasy.
Yeah, and we talked about this as being there's objective reality and then there's subjective reality. And subjective reality is to your point, accept my feelings, accept how I want to portray myself or accept this or accept that. In and above, objective reality. Subjective reality is here. Objective reality is down here. For those that are not watching on Rumble, rumble.com/criticalthinking, by the way. Make sure you're subscribed and you'll never miss another episode of the show. Same with you on the podcast. If this is your first time, make sure you are subscribed, you've downloaded, you're rating, you're reviewing, doing all that wonderful goodness for us that helps expose this show to more and more people. So, yeah, subjective reality has to trump objective reality today.
Right.
But my question, but that doesn't necessarily answer the question of how the hell did we get here that quickly? Where Bill Maher, in 3 years, would be going from laughing at him and telling him he's insane to agreeing with him.
So I think 3 years ago, you could make the argument that maybe this was the fringe minority. You might have been able to make that argument 3 years ago. Now, today, you have companies that are advocating for this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. You have institutions like Vanderbilt University mutilating kids. You have other institutions that are advocating for queer and gender reassignment and all this sort of stuff. You have more of this now, and it's more of a topic, more of an issue now than maybe it was 3 years ago. I bet if you were to compare today to 3 years ago, it is more of this, not less. That fringe minority, by the way, they got pretty loud in that 3 years.
So that's where I wanted to take this up, because 3 years ago, yeah, they might have been on the fringe, but in normal society, in the normal ebbs and flows of our society, right?
Right.
You don't get to this point, right? This inflection point of reality versus feelings, if you will. Okay. You don't get to where we are that fast in a normal world. Okay. We don't get there as a larger society in 3 years. We might get there in 30, maybe 40. Because what we're talking about is sea change, right? We're talking about going from post-World War II to the 60s hippie culture, right?
Right.
The counterculture. We're talking about this stuff happening over a generation. Normally. There is nothing, by the way, normal about the concept of men can have a period. Because, as Matt Walsh has pointed out, Pat, so brilliantly, you tell us there's no such thing as the binary of male and female, right? There's no such binary of man and woman. However, we also then must accept the subjective reality that the dude who chopped his bits off and decided to sprout boobs is now a woman. Wait a second, but that's the binary, right?
Right, yeah.
So Matt Walsh points out, Pat, right? We have to eschew the binary in our land, objective reality land, for your binary and subjective land. Wait, what? So the binary still exists. It's just that you prefer subjective reality to objective reality. How do we get here? And I keep thinking this, Pat. This has been the long march through the institutions. Mm-hmm. These are the people 20 years ago when I was in college, right? These were the, you know, the woven poncho. You know what I'm talking about, right? The kind of Mexican looking poncho wearing, smoking weed, listening to the latest Dave Matthews rip on Napster, right?
Right.
This was that crowd, also making sure that they were the gender studies or the philosophy majors of the time. These are the people who created our generation, my generation, the generation that graduated high school from about 98 to 2002. We are the ones who created this. In college, we sowed the seeds 20 years ago for this. So how do we get that rapid expansion? It's because there's an infrastructure. There is money to be made. There are grants to be had. We saw this at, what was the name of the college? I can't remember off the top of my head. It is a pretty prestigious university. Like, if you saw the name, you would go, okay, that's an impressive title to, or impressive place to get into. Hmm. There's a video that was out this week, Pat, of somebody in the student affairs or the dean's office removing a flag that was hanging from a window in the residence areas of the college. And the flag was like the thin blue line, the red line, and something else in the American flag, right? And then panning over and watching the trans flag still be able to be flown from a window of another residence. We get there because these individuals fervently believe in this like a religious cult. That's how America moves this quickly. And it moves this quickly because it's not just the academia. It's, to your point that you mentioned, it's corporations. It is the things that they, and by they, I mean the gender queer theory studies crowd, okay? It is the things that they control. They control entertainment. They control media. They control the academic world. And I'm not talking about this in a Hitler-esque way. What I'm saying is that they're the ones in the positions of power. They're the ones with the influence. And they're the ones that are influencing BlackRock right now, right? Mm. That is how you get from Dennis Prager is an absolute moron to be laughed off the stage to he was right. He was right then, by the way. Not just, well, he was prophetic. No, he was right in the moment. That if you don't accept that, you're transphobic. No, I don't accept it because it's not reality. This is a biological issue. This is not a theory.
And it's not political.
No, in any way, shape, or form. So when I look at these issues, when we talk about the chaos and the spirit of the age working its way through our institutions, through our society, all of these things, it is the stack upon stack upon stack of all of this stuff over the last 20 plus years. Because when I was in college, Pat, in 2000 to 2004, the Democratic, the leftists in our college were playing dirty pool with getting elected to the student senate. Disqualifying people that they didn't like for not even technically true, but for technicalities, right? Well, you had your campaign sign up and then you had another person's campaign sign up, and then you had the GOP campaigning and sloganeering in the same spot. And you can't have more than one in this specific geographic area. Right. That was my campaign. That was somebody else's campaign. And then the GOP is putting out their endorsement, the College Republicans putting out their endorsement, right? The very same other side of the coin didn't get that treatment, right? They were willing to play dirty pool in 2000, Pat. They were willing to do that in the name of what? Radical theories and ideas. And then when we pressed the issue, well, there's still open seats in the student government, right? So we got them to nominate us, and it was because we threatened to sue the shit out of them. So they agreed to nominate us, put us back, all this other stuff, and then shot us down anyway. Because why? Because our ideas were just so radical in 2000. Wasn't just that, though, Pat. They played so in the dirty pool aspect that they made public statements. They made statements through the colleges, like media consultants and all this other stuff, to the point where we had to hire or wanted to hire a lawyer. We had a very good case against them for violating our constitutional rights and, more importantly, violating their own standards, right? So I'm telling this story because back in 2000, these ideological seeds were sown. This was stuff that they were willing to do on campus then. These people moved from campus to where, right? The corporations, the boardrooms, moving their way up over the last 20 years. Their ideological bent has changed further left over the last 20 plus years. Their fervency, their willingness to do anything, say anything, and damn the consequences hasn't changed. They were willing to do that in college at the age of 19, right? What the hell makes you think that they're any different today? So for me, I look at it three ways, Pat. Number one, it's that the fringe has taken over. Number two, it's that, well, the fringe wasn't really the fringe. It was just, they were just a little bit ahead of mainstream leftist thought. And number three, the people, they've sowed the seeds over 20 years. They have the infrastructure to be able to move these ideas faster than ever before in human history. I mean, everywhere in the West now, if you don't accept, we went from talking about and debating in what, 2015 or 2016, the North Carolina bathroom bill, right? That seems like a child's play to what we're talking about today.
It is. It absolutely is.
Right? And that was only 8 years ago? Not even?
Not even.
Six? 6 years ago, Pat.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that, right?
It's like, again, because I go back to, you know, hell is empty for all the demons are here phrase.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that because that has happened. It's almost like this kind of evil is moving faster now, spreading faster now, because it's not only just infiltrated our corporations, churches. Our academia, yeah. It's infiltrated our churches. It's infiltrated our homes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving faster now. This is basically call it for what it is, a fast acting cancer in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it amazes me how quickly we can do that. But when you stop and think, how did we get here that fast? It makes total sense because of the culture we live in, right? It makes total sense. Like, I kind of wanted to play a game of, like, what do people on the fringe believe today that in 2 years, you know what I mean? Like, hey, 3 years from now, what thing would be radical to say that is true today or would be true 3 years from now, right? But I didn't want to go down that road only because, yikes, right? I mean, look right. at all the prophecy of the Babylon Bee, if you will, right? All the headlines of the Babylon Bee that have come true. Speaking of which, I think it is a great time to play the bee or not the bee. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so today's headline. After ignoring attacks on churches and pro-lifers, media decides political violence worth covering again. After ignoring attacks on churches and pro-lifers, media decides political violence worth covering again. While you're thinking about that, Pat, please, folks, if you have an opportunity, if you're a coffee lover, I'm telling you right now, small batch coffee worth every dime that you pay. More importantly, I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy politics left or right shoved down my throat. I just enjoy coffee. And it's really simple. There's a coffee company out there that just loves coffee, hates the politics. That is coffeebrandcoffee.com. Coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout. You get 5% off your purchase today. Now, they've got an amazing variety of whole bean, ground coffee. You can get tea. You can get your velvety hot chocolate, your marshmallow hot chocolate. You can get all sorts of wonderful goodness over there at coffeebrandcoffee.com. Again, that's coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking for 5% off your purchase today. Okay, Pat. So, do you need the headline one more time?
One more time.
After ignoring attacks on churches and pro-lifers, media decides political violence worth covering again.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that being not to be. Because
are
that's
you
actually
100% sure on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've ignored things like Brett Kavanaugh. They've ignored things like stuff on churches and things like that in recent history. Yeah, I absolutely believe that. They'll look at the Summer of Love, where we had all the BLM riots, as something that's completely fine. I mean, we had that guy standing in front of a freaking fire saying it's mostly peaceful. And so, yeah, no, it's here's the thing. Even if this is the Babylon Bee, it's absolutely freaking true. So I'm going with not the Bee.
Well, you cost us $50, and I will agree with you. It is the Babylon Bee. Again, after ignoring attacks on churches and pro-lifers, media decides political violence worth covering again. According to the Babylon Bee, following months of silence regarding threats and attacks against churches and pro-life groups, legacy corporate media outlets have confirmed the attack on Paul Pelosi warrants resuming coverage of political violence. Quote, to anyone who doesn't speak out against this politically motivated attack on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, I will say only this. Your silence is deafening. Joe Scarborough of MSNBC addressed his viewers this morning in his first recent coverage of political violence amid several months of firebombed pregnancy centers and churches, an assassination attempt on a sitting Supreme Court justice, and the running down of an 18-year-old Kyler Ellingson in a truck for being a Republican. Scarborough's call for all public figures to directly condemn political violence has been echoed across other popular left-leaning outlets, most of whom who have not covered the widespread terroristic intimidation against conservatives for the last several months. CNN's Anderson Cooper spoke to viewers throughout several airports about the importance of confronting political violence, calling his own recent lack of a need to cover political violence bittersweet. Cooper expressed gratitude that no major political violence had occurred since January 6th, but mourned the need to address it again this week, ending his broadcast by declaring, "Silence is violence." Spokespeople and official social media accounts for NPR, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and other media outlets have confirmed that despite the interruption of coverage of covering January 6th violence to cover the attack on Paul Pelosi, they would resume their urgent insurrection coverage as soon as possible. CNN has already reinstated the January 6th death counter that it had temporarily removed to solemnize the attack on Paul Pelosi, vowing it would not, quote, pick and choose what political violence to cover, unquote, and citing the urgent need to cover all political violence without prejudice. At publishing time, corporate media outlets have expressed their commitment to going silent again once further political violence against Republicans, white pedestrians, Supreme Court justices, Republicans, young people, churches, and pregnancy centers resumes. Very good satire, also freaking true.
Yeah, I'm a little pissed about this one.
They got it dead on, right? They nailed the bleep out of this one.
Yeah, they did.
I just. Wow. And this kind of dovetails into the second topic that we wanted to discuss today. And I think this was perfect as a segue, Pat, because yesterday, and by the way, this article was on the 1st of November, so before we knew that the President of the United States was going to get up in front of us and give a national address, right, addressing the nation from Union Station in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, Pat, looked fantastic, right? It looked great. There's just a problem.
Uh-huh.
99.9999999% of the other days of the year, it is a desolate hellhole full of homeless people, drug-addled individuals, violence, excrement, you name it. Now, if you had been to Union Station any time prior to the last 3 years, you would know Union Station to be a really interesting place of shopping, of entertainment, of architecture, all of this really cool stuff. I don't know if you've ever been to Union Station in D.C. or not.
Many years.
Yeah, me too. The last time I was in Union Station probably would have been like 2007-ish.
I was going to say about 2000 for me.
Yeah, 2007 for me. It's a beautiful place. It's an interesting place. It's different than most other Union Stations, right?
Right.
Now, and I say this given the Union Station here in Chicago, it's just different. Notice how clean it was. Notice there were no homeless vagrants wandering and stumbling onto the stage after they just stuck a needle in their arm, right? Notice how you didn't address that. They could clean it up for the President of the United States of America, but damn the rest of the citizens of Washington, D.C. and the travelers to our nation's capital. Damn you, right? You're a moron for going to Union Station today, because it literally is a hellhole. It's gone from beauty to hell in 3 years. I can't think of a better metaphor for what we just talked about and what we're about to talk about. Now, I did not see the speech. I didn't care to see the speech. I could have told you exactly what was going to happen in this speech. Of course, Pat, I wanted to get your thoughts having had to sit through that speech.
Oh, well, you know, it really was a blah, 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 blah speech. I mean, it that's to really sum it up, it's that. And it was the subject matter was the midterm elections, democracy, and voting. I mean, first of all, how many times do we have to say it? We're not a democracy. We're not a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a republic.
The distinction matters, and it matters why, Pat.
Because a republic is something where you have representation. Whereas a democracy is a where you can have mob rule in terms of the will of the people.
Right.
That's the distinction.
Yeah, the distinction matters because in a republic, there's much more compromise.
Right.
A much greater voice to the minority. Right.
Right.
And to your point, democracy is just mob rule. It really is. And can you say, well, in your state, you vote for this and that or what? Right. I'm voting for a mayor, a councilwoman or a councilman or an alder person. Right.
Right.
And I'm voting for all of those things, but that is my representation. I don't get to directly vote on this law or this or that, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I don't understand how you can't frame the argument that our republic is in danger. And here's why they don't do it, Pat.
Mm.
Because that would harken back to liberty. It would harken back to people in their mental Rolodex going back to, wait a minute, the republic is at stake? This is talk of the nation. When you say our democracy, there's not a nation that I shouldn't say not a nation, but in the mental Rolodex, right? There's a distinction that's made in how people would react to that terminology. And it's purposeful.
Right. Well, and to that point in the speech, I mean, he ultimately attacked Donald Trump for not accepting the election results in 2020. He attacked what he calls MAGA Republicans.
It's mega MAGA Republicans now, Pat.
Oh, yeah. He talked about that and how there are many that aren't committing to accepting election results.
What was it, 300 of them? Or is it 200?
I don't know the number.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I don't remember the number, but it's it's one of those things. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If the election was stolen, why would they accept the results in 2020? Second of all, if you're having to talk about 2020 for the 2022 election, you're doing it wrong. Third of all, Donald Trump is not on the ballot here. He's not.
And so if you're making that argument, November 2nd, so 6 days out of the election, right? you be losing, and you be losing bad.
I mean, this speech was basically like a last-ditch effort to say, we know what's coming for us. We know we're going to get our asses kicked. But we don't want to get our asses kicked at the same time. It's almost like they can't handle it. They can't handle. I'm like, are you going to accept the election results when you do get your ass kicked?
So, Pat, on the one hand, I get what you're saying and where we're going here. But what I struggle with is, do we go down the road of whataboutisms? And what I mean by that is, I know you are, but what am I? Right. Like this whole concept of, yeah, but the attack on Steve Scalise, the attack on pro-life centers, the attack on pregnancy centers, right? To the Babylon Bee's point. What about the running down of the 18-year-old? So your Charlottesville attack, I'll see you and raise you the North Dakota random attack, right? I'll see you smearing Nick Sandman for the Paul Pelosi conspiracy theory, right? I'll see this to that. How about the FBI making a potentially dangerous group of individuals into actually dangerous individuals, right? What the hell in the Gretchen Whitmer case, right? I'll seed you that, and then I'll raise you, Pat. I'll put that chip in, and then I will raise you what just happened here in my state. Do you see the mainstream media calling this out, Pat? Because in my state, we have Darren Bailey, a family farmer who grew that family farm into a wonderfully thriving business, okay, from Southern Illinois, taking on J.P. Pritzker, a.k.a. Fred Flintstone, Mr. Lockdown for Evs. Yesterday, the Chicago Tribune finally reported on this. There was an arrest made after a Chicago man called in and threatened to murder and mutilate Darren Bailey just yesterday, Pat, and was hell-bent on carrying this attack out to the point where he was found with the weapons in which he wanted to do this on him en route to a Darren Bailey campaign stop yesterday.
Nice. Not really.
So on the day that the president of the United States is telling us right-wing extremists and political violence is a only right-wing thing, right? The left, for the second time in a week, has attempted to assassinate, hurt, maim somebody in the political world. And they did it to somebody of the left and the right, by the way. Did we hear Joe Biden call that out last night? I don't think so, from everything that I've read. And yeah, I just...
He didn't call that out last night. He didn't also bring up Brett Kavanaugh. He didn't bring it, like, nothing. If it impacted the right, he never brought it up. Let's put it that
Lee
way.
How about Lee Zeldin, the governor candidate in New York, having not one, but two assassination attempts in the last 3 months?
Yeah, that never came up.
Was it a unequivocal, all political violence is wrong from him?
If in the very beginning of the speech, you would think that, because he was talking about political violence in general. I'll give him that. Okay. However, as the speech goes on, it shifts to Donald Trump. It shifts to
MAGA Republicans.
But he's using those as specific examples. He's not using anything from his own side as a specific example.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but he ran on being the uniter in chief, right? The person who's going to unify this divided and divisive country.
He did. And listening to parts of that speech, you would think, like, hey, he's trying to unify the country and saying God bless America and God bless our troops and all this sort of stuff. Like there are elements there that I'm like, okay, this is something that someone that wants to be uniting would say. But the crux of the speech was not.
Mm-hmm. So I like what Buck Sexton had to say about this, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
The Democrats who have been lecturing you for 2 years about quote-unquote political violence were the same voices cheering on BLM riots across the country that lasted for months. And they're going to do it again. Remember that. And that's where I kind of, like, I think about the whataboutisms and the equivalencies and, yeah, but you guys do this. And, yeah, but, you know, so that's what I meant by, like, I'm going to trade you. I'm going to push this chip in, but I'm going to go over the top with this one, right? Like, this is the problem that I have with the president of the United States. Do I have a problem with him calling out political violence? No.
No, I don't.
But it is never political violence on his side. Hell, again, he cheered on the BLM riots. He cheered on as Antifa rioted throughout this country. Did he call off the dogs, so to speak, as political violence was being perpetrated in the wake of the 2020 election? Nope. By the way, that was happening from the left, not the right. I'll let you have that one. But we're supposed to believe this is just a one-side issue. No, it's not. And it's wrong either way. Unequivocally wrong. If you are of the right and you think that violence is the answer, you're wrong. if you're of the left and you think violence is your answer to the hatred in your heart for somebody who thinks a little bit differently than you, you're wrong. But for the President of the United States of America to get in front of us, and I mentioned this up top, this is one of the most Hitler-esque things I have ever seen in American political history. Because it's not happened just once, it has happened twice in the last 3 months. You got up in what, early September, and now early November, right? Or was that late August? One of the two. Doesn't matter. And attempted to paint a picture that benefits what, Pat? What is the benefit of doing this? What is the benefit to this? The benefit is to gain more power, more persuasion, more what? Control. The other benefit of this, Pat. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
I was going to say just control. Like this is what it comes down to. It's about their power and control at the end of the day. It's slipping from their fingers. They know it. Therefore, they're trying to paint a picture about the other side that would suggest, hey, you should let us keep our power and control.
Because if you don't, the fascists win, right?
Except right.
It's always the fascists that call other people the fascists. The Antifa is the most hilarious name of all time for me.
Right.
Now, the other part of this puzzle, Pat, that makes this Hitler-esque for me is, what do you know about Hitler and how they came to power, how the Nazis came to power? They came to power by shiny object over here, right? We're going to totally abide by the Constitution. We're the constitutionalists, right? They sold the bill of goods to everybody in Germany, right? Sold them that bill of goods that we don't believe in political violence. We don't believe in this. And it's our enemies that do, the enemy at the gate. The communists want political violence and blah, 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 right? While they're committing political violence themselves. Right? While they're the ones setting the stage for that thing that they deride to the nation. So I ask myself a very simple question here. We've talked about this being about power and control. What would be the next step? What happens when they get their ass handed to them? Are they going to sit there and accept it? Well, no. How do I know that though, Pat? Name an election over the last 20 years other than Barack Obama or the 2014 midterms that they accepted. They never accepted Bush 1. They claimed that Bush winning number 2 was wrong, right? They claimed that they draped the flag for 2002 and the increase in the control and demographics in the House and Senate in 2002. 2010, it was a bunch of racists and radical Tea Party, tea baggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has not been an election that the other side has won that they believe to have been legitimate for the last 20 plus years. Not one. This was the setup of they're going to deny the election, right? Oh, they're already laying the groundwork. No, they're not. What they are laying the groundwork for is exactly the same thing you guys do, right? It's exactly the same thing where they're putting the boots on the ground to make sure that funny business on the other side isn't happening. You're just pissed that they're playing the same game you are. So at the end of the day, when I look at this as being Hitler-esque, what do I mean by that? I mean it is rhetorically setting up the other side as dangerous enemies, right? The enemy of the people. In the Hitler situation, it was the communists, right? Those were the enemy. The enemy of the Germanic Republic, right? And you have to put us in power. Give us the Reichstag, right? Give us that so that we can fight the enemy of communism. In this case, it's mega MAGA, ultra MAGA Republicans, right? Notice right. how they stopped using ultra. It's mega MAGA now. Mega MAGA, mega MAGA.
Sounds like a freaking Power Rangers song or something.
Right. Go, go, Power Rangers. Also, like I pointed out yesterday on Twitter, my question to the White House is, how stoned were the people that came up with this? And in which Mega Man were they playing on the Super Nintendo? Because they're so hipster. But do you understand what I'm saying here? The Hitler-esque portion of this is they're painting the enemy, right? Their enemy, as not just an enemy of them politically, but an enemy to the people, the enemy to the republic, the enemy to democracy. Simple question. Does anybody really believe that our republic is going to die instantaneously should the Republicans gain control? Do I believe that the republic is going to die instantaneously if the Democrats were going to gain control? No. But I do believe that if the Democrats were to get ultimate control, we would see a totalitarian state unlike anything we have ever seen. I full and firmly believe the powers that be in the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence apparatus, the media, right? They have the apparatus in place to do it. We don't. We would not have that apparatus to just suddenly become the authoritarian, you know, fascist state that they want to paint the picture of. We don't have that ability because we don't control the institutions. Who controls them? Right. That's why this was Hitler-esque, because at the end of the day, Hitler came to power by pulling the wool over the eyes of the people and using the levers of power that existed within the political, cultural, societal spheres, right? They didn't do it by just taking and storming the Reichstag. They didn't do it that way. They played the long game and then stormed and set ablaze the Reichstag, blamed whom? The other side for it, right? The Paul Pelosi, what do? Blame the other side, except for this guy is a radical Castro communist. What's a Steve Scalise, right? January 6th was an insurrection against America. Mm-hmm.
But here's what's going to happen, though. You know, in about a week, when the Republicans retake the House and Senate in this election, mm-hmm. and they take pretty much a good chunk of the governorships across this country and all the other local seats all coming along with it, are we not going to see the left freak out to a point where, I don't know if they'll riot, but I think it's a strong possibility, given recent history, and not accepting the election results? I bet you we see them not accepting the election results in about a week.
Yes.
On that note, Pat, your final thoughts and what is my gift today?
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And today, Andrew's on the third day of Andrew's supposed birth month, because apparently that's a thing now. On the third day, Andrew gets a Baltimore Ravens jersey because his Green Bay Packers suck this year.
Would that be a Jim Leonard Baltimore Ravens jersey?
No, I was thinking more like a Joe Flacco or Ray Lewis. Maybe
Herbert? No, I don't accept.
How about Lamar Jackson? Let's get you more Lamar.
Okay. eBay. Lamar Jackson Ravens jersey bid. And with that, please That's be smart, fault. Be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.